Hello and thank you for tuning in to Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce, the podcast. I'm your host, Monique Davis-Dotson, and I am here with a very special guest, a very dear friend of mine. I actually call her my sister, and her name is Sheree Hargrove Wiley. Welcome to the show, Sheree.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm excited that you're here. This is going to be a very, I'm just like giving you guys a heads up. This is going to be a very real and raw conversation about life, love, marriage, and divorce. And it's going to be an eye-opener because I believe that some people are actually going through this particular topic that we're about to discuss. And I want to thank you for being very vulnerable, transparent. I'm thanking you in advance. And I'm thanking you because I know that your healing and how you were able to handle the situation is going to be able to help somebody else heal. So we're going to get right into it. Our topic today is that Sheree was married for how many years were you guys married?
17 years.
17 years. And her husband came out and told her that he was gay. And so what do you do when that happens? So let's start at the beginning. How did you meet your ex-husband?
We met in college. I was a freshman at orientation, actually, and he was a counselor. So it wasn't like your love at first sight type of thing. It was just really cool, laid back. And so left, packed up, came back for college. And we went out a few times.
So you went to orientation, you came back to Houston. Because you're born and raised in Houston.
Born and raised in Houston, Texas.
And then, so you went back to school. Her school was Sam Houston State.
Yes.
You go back to school, and then obviously you must see him again.
We see one another. We kind of talk, exchange numbers, banter, some laughs here and there. It was very casual. It was nothing romantic or anything of that nature. Just really cool. Mm-hmm. Just a cool guy. So we just casually talked, casually dated, and then he graduated.
Okay. And so he was 3 years older than you.
3 years older.
Okay. Yes. And so he graduated. And then what happened? So, and this was all casual because you were friends.
Yes. So in between that time, of course, I'm sure he was dating other people as well as I.
Yeah.
So my last year at Sam Houston State, which was 1994, we became serious, exclusively dating. And then a year after that, he proposed.
Okay. Now let me ask you, how did it happen where you went from the casual dating to this is going to be a romantic, you know, now we want to be exclusive with one another? How did that happen?
So in transition after college for myself, we would just hang out every weekend. Hey, my friends are hanging out here. Do you want to come hang out?
Okay. And so it grew.
The friendship
it grew
built.
Into,
okay. Yes.
Where we trust one another. We're always
we can
together.
Hang out. We went to church. Yeah. He would come around my family. I would go around his.
Yeah.
We would do Christmas in San Antonio.
So it was just like, okay,
yeah,
I can see myself with this person.
Yes.
And he can see himself with me. Because where do you go from there, right?
Right.
That's how I kind of felt with my ex-husband.
Yes.
Because we met in high school. We were together throughout college. Where do you go after that? Natural progression. So that's what happened in your relationship. And then, so you come back to Houston.
Come back to Houston. Propose. Then he gets a job with the Department of Justice.
Okay.
And so at that point in time, we are planning a wedding. And then he goes off to Quantico for training for 17 weeks.
Wow. But you were planning a wedding. And so when he came back, you got married.
Came back.
Okay.
We got married. He graduated from the academy. And then right after that, we moved to Chicago.
I remember you moved to Chicago.
Yes.
Wow. Oh my goodness. I know, because at the time we were in Green Bay. Yeah. Now the connection here with Sheree and I, because I told you that she's my friend, my sister, is that her ex-husband and my ex-husband went to high school together. And so it immediately made us family, because we used to always do things together. Yes. as a group. And so when you were in Chicago, we were in Green Bay, because my ex-husband was playing for the Green Bay Packers at the time. So you're in Chicago, getting settled and everything. How was that experience in Chicago?
The transition was hard. Yeah. Being born and raised in Texas, yeah, and then have to pack up and leave.
Yes.
With no support system. My best friend was there, so that's why we picked Chicago, because we had Chicago, mm-hmm, New Mexico was an option, and Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, well, no, my best friend is in Chicago, let's just go there.
Yeah.
So but after a few years, I started working. I built up my support system. I went to graduate school.
Yeah.
Because I put that on hold to support my ex-spouse. We lived in Chicago for 12 years.
Yeah, that was a good thing.
So after that, he promoted management. So that's how we moved to New Orleans, Louisiana.
Right. You have two daughters together.
We have two daughters.
And so when did you become pregnant with the first daughter?
First daughter, 2003.
So you're in Chicago.
Yes, in Chicago. It was my last year of graduate school, so I was pregnant with Harper. Graduated, completed thesis. So, yeah.
I did it. You did it all. Yeah, you did it all.
Yeah.
And then Logan came.
Then Logan was 2006, October.
Wow. Yeah, we were pregnant together. We were pregnant together.
Yes.
Okay. So tell me what's going on in Chicago. So you have you've completed your master's.
Completed my master's. Babies. I have babies. I'm a therapist at a group home for boys.
Yeah.
I have friends. Mm-hmm. And then bam. 2009, we're moving to New Orleans, Louisiana.
Okay, so let me ask you this question, because every dot connects at some point. How's the marriage in Chicago?
Marriage in Chicago is friendly.
Friendly. Because he's gone a lot. He's working a lot, I should say.
He's working a lot.
So you're managing.
So managing, parenting, working.
Making a relationship work best you can under those
ships passing by.
Yes.
Pick up, we moved to New Orleans.
To New Orleans.
That's where the office is.
Okay.
So we're living on the North Shore. We don't live in the city.
Okay.
So in New Orleans, we do not have the same support system, and we do not have the same outlets. So because of that, you have to look at the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
You have to ask the hard questions.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to know, where do you see our relationship going? Because you have sat down in the quiet.
Okay.
And you have realized that you had all of these extra activities, extra people, kind of masking and holding everything in regards to not wanting to notice what's really happening.
Okay, so let me kind of digest that and then tell you what I understand. So things are happening, two ships passing, but think, you know, when we're in relationships, we can tell when there's a shift. We can also tell when there's something going on and there may be an outside distraction, because we know deep down, we may not have all of the proof, but we know something going on. So we can sit down, have the conversation of, hey, what's going on? Well, hey, I got to go to work. We can talk about that later. You know, all the stuff that get piled under the rug until you just start tripping and tumbling over that rug.
Yes.
And it's like, here we are. Let's have the conversation.
So in saying that, there was this emotional disconnection that looking back now, I realized was never there.
It was never there. But let me ask you this question. When you get to New Orleans, what happened there to make you say, I'm not carrying whatever's going on, we're bringing it from what was going on in Chicago, it's now here in New Orleans, and I need to address this?
So for me,
yeah,
I did not want to start the second half of my trajectory living like roommates.
I feel you. Okay, so let's just be real.
It was a fear of flight, a fear of flying for me. I didn't really know what to do or how I was going to do it. I just knew it needed to be
that
done.
Conversation needed to happen because now your roommates maybe sleeping in the same bed, but nothing happening in the bed.
Right, we're roommates. Yeah. We are co-parenting.
You're almost like business partners.
We are.
Okay.
It's a business.
It's a business now.
It's a business.
Tell me what led up to the conversation. How did it all happen? How did it all come out? The truth.
I remember this, a particular weekend. I had come home to visit friends and family, gotten back to Louisiana, and driving for 5 hours, you have a lot to think about.
Yeah.
So then I was like, okay, I need to ask my ex, where do you see our marriage in the next 5 years? So 2009, that puts us, 10, 11 years, pretty much. So, which is a normal question, because if you're thinking you're going to basically spend the rest of your life with this person, you guys need to be on the same page,
right?
Whether it's year one, year five, year 10,
whatever it is.
So, I asked the question, and I got some heat from it, but really didn't care because I wanted to know. So, I really didn't get a solid answer.
Right.
So for me, it was like, okay, so I guess I just sit on it. So at that time, we started a small group. It was a couple small group at church. So it talked about relationships, communication, 8 weeks. So nothing was really solved from that.
I'm smiling because I remember this for my own self.
Nothing was solved from that, which I guess in theory is okay, because I mean it lets you know it's not gonna work out, which is fine. We just need to figure out how to move forward in an amicable and mature way.
Right.
So I'm asked by my ex, hey, let's try counseling.
Okay.
So I agree. And we did that for a year.
Wow.
We went to counseling for 1 year. So in this time, he's learning things about himself that he really didn't know.
So with the counseling, it's couples and then individuals?
It's couples. We had maybe 4 session couples.
Yeah.
And then 4 individuals.
Yeah.
I continued to go.
He stopped.
He stopped, but I continue to go, and I'm gaining my strength. I'm like, okay, I think I can do this.
Right.
I think it can happen.
Right.
So leading up to that, counseling had wrapped, and so I was like, okay, I really think we should just go our separate ways, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So we were trying to figure out how to kind of actually do it.
Right.
We really didn't know.
But okay, so pause here. Because the coming out has not occurred yet.
The coming out has not occurred.
So you're just in there's like, okay, couples therapy isn't working. Oh, we're still in the same place. I think we tried it. So let's go ahead and separate.
Right.
Right.
So
did you ever identify, or did he identify, what was going on in the relationship that even brought you to counseling? Were you guys able to reveal that?
No.
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 Okay. So it's kind of wasting time.
Exactly.
All right. Okay.
It was an effort to say, hey,
we tried it. Trust me, I know. Did the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So November the 2nd. 2012.
What time?
It was 8 a.m.
See, when something of significance happens, Yeah. You remember the time, where you were.
Yep.
You know,
in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Completing clinical notes for myself.
Okay.
X walks in. Kids have gotten on the bus. He walks in and he was like, "Hey, I have something to tell you." And he's looking very afraid. And I'm thinking, like, did something happen to someone in my family? I was scared. Like, yeah. What's going on? So, stood in the kitchen and he said, "I'm gay."
Just and like that.
"I'm gay."
Just like that. No, like.
"No, I'm gay. I'm sorry. Don't take the kids. I love my kids. Don't take them away." So, I'm sitting at the island.
I'm sitting here, you know. I know the story, but I'm still sitting here in awe because my mouth is still wide open. Hey, I'm gay.
I have something to tell you.
I got something to tell you.
And
you're not even, that's not even anything.
It's not
in your mind.
In my thoughts.
Yeah.
I knew that the emotional connection was not there. And I prayed for an entire year, "Lord, am I making the right decision?"
Mm-hmm.
So that particular morning was my answer. My answer, yeah. My sign. You know, the coconut hit me on top of the head.
Hey.
It was like, here it is.
Why does it take the dang old coconut to hit us on the head?
Because
I had a couple coconuts to say, "Wake up, girl, wake up."
So, I don't know.
He's like, how many signs I got to sing? But anyways, so he comes in. "I need to talk to you." He drops this bombshell on you. And then what do you do?
So, never, not once did I think to become violent, to become verbally abusive,
mm-hmm.
because I saw my friend,
yes,
stand in front of me feeling defeated.
Yes.
So I didn't want to add to it,
yeah,
because I'm thinking at this point in time now, he can actually live his truth.
Right.
And we can both be happy. We are young enough to find happiness and passion and have the emotional connection we both deserve.
So really, him finally being able to reveal his truth was really like when you say, "Okay, I prayed to God." So whatever was going to happen, you were at that place of surrender and acceptance.
I
to,
was.
Okay, this is what was going on. I'm not crazy.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, you get that revelation.
Now I
can deal with what's going
it.
On
yes.
instead of all these questions and me trying to fill in answers to the blanks.
Right. Now I know this is why, you know, he could not connect emotionally.
Right.
And then it just confirmed my initial saying that it was a business.
It was a business.
So in me responding to the come out, and you know, he was like, don't pack the kids up. I don't want you to move. I don't want you to leave. My response was, you do not have to worry about it. You're going to stay here. You're going to pay this mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Until I figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Until I have a plan.
Right.
So for me, I was in business mode.
You were in business.
I'm not gonna pack my kids up,
right.
pack up my truck,
right.
and put their belongings
right.
in a garbage bag
right.
because you decide now you want to come out.
Right.
No, I'm gonna stay right here in this house with you.
Right.
And you're gonna pay the mortgage and the rest of the bills until
I figure it out. But hey, that's a grown up right there, though. It's a grown up, and it's a mom, because it's like, what am I gonna do? Am I getting ready to just start cussing you out all of a sudden? Whatever's been going on, it's been going on. But is it fair for me to uproot my kids and change their whole life just because you decided today was gonna be your day?
Right. And we also decided that at that time, because our daughters were too young.
Yeah. How old were the girls at that time?
9
yeah
and 6
that's
five
really,
and a half
that's really young.
So at that time they would totally not have understood
yeah.
Dad's preference and truth. So we agreed that we would tell them together. And I also told my ex I would not share his story because it was his story to tell. It was his story to tell. So what he told me that morning stayed in the kitchen.
Until he was ready to tell his story. When did he begin telling his story?
I would say maybe 6 months later.
6 months later.
Because my parents didn't know. And I know for me, I didn't share because number one, I told him I wasn't going to.
Right.
And two, I think also he and I were able to really navigate the process because we kept it within the family. Yeah. And it wasn't like it was a secret. We just didn't want the outside banter or the outside opinions.
Well, you needed to know how to deal with.
And we wanted to deal with everything on our own, in our own time, without the emotions and the remarks from other people.
The lack of understanding.
Yes.
From other people.
Yes.
That's powerful. But do you think that your background helped you get to this place a lot sooner than some people may?
I think so. Yeah. I think so. And
God was even preparing you then, wasn't he?
He was. And in hindsight, my ex always says he really doesn't think if he was married to anyone else, it would have come out as amicable and as mature. Yeah. So I guess in a way I was positioned.
Yeah.
To be his mate, his business partner.
For a reason. To be able to free him.
And for this experience.
Yeah. To be able to go through the truth. Experience. Yes. To be able to share with others. Yes. In a very mature way.
Yes.
You know, full of compassion. It didn't seem like it was a criticism. It was more of a compassion.
It was compassion.
And I don't know how you can have that without the Lord. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Having compassion. And wow. What? So you guys stay in New Orleans.
We stay in New Orleans.
For about how, I mean, you're still there.
I'm still there.
When do you guys tell your family? Do you tell them together? Is it a separate thing? What happens?
For me, I still hadn't told my mom.
You didn't tell your mother?
I want to say, I know it was Christmas, maybe 2014. Mm-hmm. 2 years had passed, pretty much. Maybe a year, year and a half had passed.
Okay.
And then, actually, he told his mom first. And then when he told me he told his mom, I was still contemplating on telling mom.
How did that go with, how did he say the conversation went with his mother?
She was accepting, but not like rejectful, but his mom is old school.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, why now? Why come out and let everyone know now?
Yeah.
Everything just should have stayed the way it was. Mm. But within him continuously talking to her and letting her know that, hey, you know, I have the acceptance of my ex. It's going to be okay. This is just who I am. And,
And she probably was going through her own stuff and trying to see, did I miss something? Did I do something wrong? You know what I'm saying? Right. As a mother. So you can kind of
understand. There was some guilt there on her behalf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you, he is very good. He was very good at living his life, the projected life and image. Well, hell, I was too, so let me.
Right.
You know, when we really don't want to share.
Our mask.
Yeah, when we put our mask on. He did it well, you know, in order to be able to be accepted by other people, you know, and by denying himself his own truth. And that's an unfortunate place to be.
It is. And I actually realized this a month ago while I was driving home again.
Yeah.
For 5 hours.
For 5 hours. And that's your counseling time when you
I felt actually sad for my ex because I really didn't know or don't know what it's like to
live
have to deny mm-hmm. my truth mm-hmm. for 40 years mm-hmm. and to have to muster up the energy to actually come home and like and love on someone that's just not who you are.
Yeah.
So it was difficult while I was thinking about it yeah. and I was actually pretty sad. And I told them, I was like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm so sorry that you had to suppress everything for mm-hmm. that long because mm-hmm. I don't know what it's like.
Right.
So for you to come out, I was not mad. Yeah. I was actually very happy for him mm-hmm. because now he's, not that he wasn't happy then, but you could just see the light.
Right.
And the peace.
Right. So, well, it's more authentic.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sometimes we can be happy and we can project everything is okay. And it is because we have this mindset. I'm speaking from experience, you know, because you go into, well, I'm so blessed. I have my health. I have my kids. I have my family. I have a job. Some people don't work.
Right.
So we talk ourselves into the reasons we should be happy and thankful. But we're also, at the same time, denying some of the realities and the struggles that we go through because
yes.
we feel guilty, in light parentheses over here, for mm. complaining.
Yes.
Like,
and
you know
we
what I'm
compartmentalize.
Saying? Oh, most definitely.
Yes.
Most definitely. I'm just going to publicly acknowledge you as a woman and as a mother and as a friend and really to show the compassion of Christ and as a believer. It really doesn't get any realer than me actually looking at you in your eyes because that took a lot.
It did.
And you cannot, because you went, in my mind, you went out of body. Really.
I did.
Really, you had to because there's no other way you can really deal with that and be as compassionate or have, you know, that kind of sympathy for another individual, because what I see and what I understand is that you identified the person's pain and you were not going to continue to be a part of it. It seemed
right.
like that was a decision.
Yes. And also in that same day, we actually went to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he was like, hey, I'm going to go to the office, but I'm going to come back. Do you want to go have lunch? So you can ask me whatever you want to ask me.
Wow.
So you can start having, I guess, some closure in a
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool because he and I have always been able
We've
always been friends.
Yeah.
We've always been able to, you know, just once something was out, we could talk about it.
That's good.
So for me, that's where the healing began for me
because
at lunch.
At lunch. Because it seems like he released his truth. And that was a heavy, but it seems like he wanted to be respectful and acknowledged or could identify that he laid that heavy.
Yes.
And so I need to give something to her and say, listen, wherever I need to meet you,
yes.
whatever I need to do, then I'm going to do it.
Yes.
It's one thing you release something to someone that's a heavy and then you go on about your business.
Yes.
Because then it could have changed, could have shifted.
It could have shifted.
You know what I'm
it
saying?
It could have become very bitter.
Yes.
You know, hey, I've wasted 17 years.
And this is it.
And,
yeah.
And this is what I get. And granted, we know the kids are blessings and,
yeah.
you know, they're from God. We get all of that,
yeah.
you know, but the human side is like, really?
Yeah.
Like, could have been doing something else.
Exactly.
With
exactly.
something else, with someone else.
Yeah, you just, okay, bye.
Yeah.
but that's good. So you went to lunch.
We went to lunch.
What happened during lunch? What was, did you ask him anything?
I asked about the work hours, the gym times.
So you asked him these things.
Well, we would stay at the gym for like three
okay.
and 4 hours.
So now everything's coming to mind.
So
like, okay,
everything is
were you
coming.
Really working when you said you were working? Were you really in the gym when you said
yeah,
you were in the
so
gym?
Yeah, so I was like, I used to like, I knew you would train for your triathlons
mm-hmm.
and your marathons. But in my mind, I'm thinking like, who works out for 3 and 4 hours?
Yeah.
So, Revelations, you know, the gym time, which were early mornings, you know, were times for him to meet and greet, as well as some of the after work times.
So he actually was involved with someone. Did you ask the question of how long were you involved with someone? Where the relationship, that shift changed where there was no emotional connectivity, where he been in a relationship? Because now he's, you know, he's in the business with you and he's taking care of family, but he's also found someone he's attracted to.
So real talk, when you ask about the emotional part, when did I notice?
Yeah.
I would say the wedding day. It was never there.
Okay. All right. So you noticed that the
I knew going in the emotional part was not there. But for me, I'm in business mode. He's a good guy. Mm. He would be a good provider. Mm-hmm. He would make a great dad.
So let me ask you this question. Was the emotional connectivity something important for you in a relationship? It's something that you desired, or you just...
It was something that I...
But it was missing.
I desired...
Kind of, you can't get everything, right?
Right. I was okay. Missing it with this person, but he was responsible. He was smart.
Yeah.
He was
all
kind.
Of the other check marks
all
on
of the
box.
Other check marks.
Okay. But so, this little part, we can work through this.
Oh, we can... It'll come. It'll come. Naturally
okay.
evolve.
Mm. But it never did. So you were kind of waiting for it to evolve.
Waiting for it to happen, and it did not.
It never happened.
And now we know why.
Now we know. Now we know.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So I get a little sad right now.
Yeah.
Because I am such a hopeless romantic, and I just love the idea, and I love being in love. I'm a touchy-feely person. I like to hold hands, and you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To be in a relationship and to not have that for 17 years and waiting, it makes me sad for you.
Yeah.
And I know some people out there may be experiencing that, and I think that when you know something's not right, our life lessons that we decide to share, you know, publicly, is really for teaching and helping people heal. If somebody's out there not getting all of their boxes checked, please reevaluate your decision, because it's not a personal attack towards you nor the other person. But it's definitely something that needs to be communicated before you go further down the line. And time is precious.
Indeed it is.
Yeah, it really is. So he has this relationship. So now everything's coming out on the table while we eat lunch.
Everything is coming out. We've kind of been, was involved for a few years.
And this person is in New Orleans?
The guy was in Chicago.
He was in Chicago. So when you guys moved, he was already involved with this person.
When we moved to New Orleans, yeah. He and the person, I think we're not together at the time because we were moving.
Right.
But there were some times early on when we moved to New Orleans that he would go back to Chicago.
Okay.
So I'm thinking it was to tie up loose ends.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he shares all of this with you. How do you receive this?
It was a lot to take in.
I was going
to
say. Because it's one thing that you say, hey, I'm gay. Because right. I noticed that there's no attraction. I've suppressed this for years.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how to tell you or my family. But now I have feelings for someone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not you.
So for me, it was a lot to take in, but never not once did I think it was my fault.
Yeah.
I didn't have any issues with my self-confidence or
That's
self-esteem.
Good. Yeah.
I was just glad that I had my answer.
Yes. I think you probably were searching for that because it seems
I wanted an answer.
You've been wanting an answer for a long time in regards to the emotional connectivity.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then now it's like, you know,
light bulb. Light bulb. It's here.
It's here. Here it is.
So I couldn't get upset. I couldn't.
Because you asked for this.
I asked for it. Yeah. And I do believe, you know, when we pray and we ask, we should receive it.
Well, it says that.
We should not go back.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to say, hey, let's try to work on it or anything like that.
Yeah.
For me, that was my answer.
That was your answer.
And
let me ask you this then.
I was okay with
it. You were okay. So we're being transparent and honest. Was your emotional connectivity already gone prior to him sharing his truth?
It was.
So it helped you to deal with whatever a lot easier too, because you were kind of already
checked out.
Yeah. But you were standing in for the business part, for the kids.
I was there to protect my investment.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So you were. How long had you been gone from the?
It kind of started like right after we moved
to Chicago.
So 2009, 2010 when we moved to New Orleans, because at this point in time, so in transition, I was at staying at home with the kids.
Yeah.
And he was going to work. So you have a lot of time to think.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have your House of Blues where you get to go to your concerts.
Right.
You are not at your job with your colleagues.
Right.
So you're starting over.
And then you're not having this emotional connectivity that you know that you were created
to have
and that you desire. So your needs are not being met.
Needs are not
at all.
Being met. So
it makes you shift in your.
My ex was present in body, but not in spirit.
Not in spirit.
Which, looking back, I'm sure was very difficult for him as well to have to come home and face female.
So both, but really, let's, you know, and I think that most couples can be honest when they get to that place of decision making. We're both living lies.
Yes.
Because you're not telling your truth of, you know,
right,
what, I'm not really getting my
needs
and I'm kind of gotten to this too because you're a good guy. But I mean, even when you tell the story about how you guys met, there was no love connection.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so you suppressed as well. You suppressed as long as he suppressed until he was able to free both of you.
Yes.
To be honest,
it was.
Wow. So what happens in this transition? So we have lunch. You ask all of your questions.
Ask all of my questions. And I think too, there were some things that I thought about that I really didn't want to know the answers to.
Uh-huh.
So for me, after that, maybe a few weeks later, I would ask different things.
Every now and then.
And then I had to tell myself, okay, enough. Like,
enough.
If you keep thinking about all the times
right.
and all the things that, okay, hey, I gotta go here or we're doing this, I would have driven myself crazy.
If there's
and I
no
didn't
healing
do
in
that.
It.
Right.
It's really not. It's just a prolonging of pain,
yes.
in my opinion.
And I didn't want that. Yeah. I wanted to devise my plan.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make sure the kids and I were okay. And mainly me staying strong and focused was for the girls because I really didn't want anything disrupted.
Yeah, because it's a lot. You know, divorce is a lot in regards to all the things that kids think because their little minds are not mature enough to understand. And we can't give them all of the heavy,
you know,
and you got to find a balance there.
And then at that time, they didn't know we were going to get divorced. So we had the divorce piece to disclose.
Mm-hmm.
And then we decided, you know, when they were old enough, we would disclose
the
reason.
Okay. What a remarkable story Cherie is sharing with us. To have an unexpected revelation from her ex-spouse that he's gay. Many people probably wouldn't be as compassionate or understanding or mature-minded as she. But when you have kids,
you do things to protect them. At least that's what we're supposed to do until we kind of get a plan or a grasp. And attacking another human being for whatever their truth may be is really unacceptable. Especially when you are seeking or have asked in some form or fashion to be free and to have knowledge of whatever the pain that you're experiencing, to have that revelation come through. And sometimes it comes in ways so unexpected. But you come to understand that however it comes is needed for peace of mind. Join me next Tuesday and listen to the conclusion of Cherie's story and how her ex-husband shared his truth with his daughters. Thank you for listening, and until the next podcast, God bless.